You may have heard just recently the Greek premier Kyriakos Mitsotakis was snubbed publicly by British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. The bone of contention? The ownership of a series of priceless sculptures known by the British as the Elgin Marbles, removed over 200 years ago by them from a building called the Parthenon. The iconic temple that is the Parthenon is a symbolic of Athens, as the Statue of Liberty is to New York. I wonder if you have visited the Acropolis Museum in Athens. A large space within it is devoted to the adjacent Parthenon, but crucially, some of the exhibits are fakes. Past plaster casts. They are replicas because the real ones are 2,000 kilometres away in London. Here to share the extraordinary story of the Parthenon marbles on the line from Thessalonica, our man in Greece, Egistos Papadopoulos. Hello.
Hello, kids.
Very nice of you to join us. Now, before we tell the story, what was the reaction in Greece to Rishi Sunak's refusal to discuss this issue with Kyriakos Mitsotakis?
Well, first of all, the Prime Minister said that he was outraged by this refusal. And government sources said that it was politically improper. It was a foul on Sunak's part. And also that the dispute about the marbles is a question between the Greek government and the British Museum, not the British government.
Oh, is that right? He tried to slither out of it. He said it was responsibility of the British Museum and not his responsibility. Not a government thing. Okay. Clever move. But it didn't impress the Greeks.
They expressed their intense annoyance. And the opposition said that it's unacceptable and against all sense of diplomacy. And also government sources said that it was a never-seen-before episode, and I quote, "We're searching for a precedent, and we can't find one." So, anyway, everybody's pretty much outraged, but as the Prime Minister said, this question of the marbles is ongoing for many years now. It's not something new. And there were other things to discuss, like immigration and Ukraine and Gaza, and all this was not able to be discussed.
Okay, so he had other priorities, but you're right. The question of the marbles has been going on for over 200 years. Tell us the story of of the Parthenon marbles, known by the British as the Elgin marbles.
Okay, first of all, I must make a distinction. The Acropolis is an outcrop of rock about 40 meters high. And on top of it are various temples, among which is the Parthenon. Mm-hmm. Now, the Elgin, which is who is Thomas Bruce, the 7th Earl of Bruce, of Elgin, sorry, he removed about half of the then existing marbles of the Parthenon and other sculptures from all over the Acropolis and other temples of Greece and also burial sites. So he had quite a collection.
Right. So he kind of defaced various monuments.
As well
as tombs, you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. And under what authority did he do this?
Well, after he took the marbles back to England, where he kept them for 10 years in his house.
No. Excuse me. Did he just help himself, or did he ask anybody's permission? Did he go to the mayor of the Greek? What was the situation in Greece at that time?
Greece was under Ottoman rule at that time. It was all belonging to the Turkish.
To the Turks. Okay. So did Elgin speak to the Turks about taking marbles, taking some valuable artifacts back to Britain?
Well, that's where I'm getting it. After he brought them back to England, there was a question of whether this was a legal thing or not. So it was then that Elgin produced a firman, as it's called, which is a government order, supposedly from the Sultan, allowing him to take casts, drawings, measurements, and some pieces of stone. Subsequently, Turkish researchers have not found a copy of this order in any of the Turkish archives. So the originality of this document is under question.
Okay, so you think he might have forged any permissions that he had from the Ottoman authorities?
It's possible, but it's also possible that it was just a letter from a lower-ranking official, not an official paper, which he managed, as also many members of his team at the Acropolis, said that there were vast amounts of bribes given to everybody in order for the work to progress.
Right, okay. So money was changed hands, one imagines, yes. Now, it didn't all go smoothly, did it? Because there was a bit of a navigational mishap on the way back to England. So tell us what happened.
Yeah, he had about I think 7 shiploads of stuff moved out of Greece, and one of them, which is called a brick called Mentor.
Yes, HMS Mentor. Yeah.
Was sunk outside of Athens, and it took him about 2 or 3 years to recover the sculptures with divers. And then he took them all to Malta, which was a British protectorate.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, he brought them back to his house.
Right. So quite a lot of stuff. You're talking about several boatloads of marble. Right, sort of by boat and then horse and cart back to his place.
Yes, and all this was, from what I read, was financed from his first wife, which was one of the richest women in England at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But upon his return to England, he discovered that she was having an affair with his best friend.
Right.
So he did a divorce. He asked for a divorce, which cost him a lot of money. And besides losing his wife's money, he was deeply in debt.
Okay.
So he asked the government to buy the marbles, but they offered him £30,000 at that time. I must say that it cost him £74,000 at that time to get all the marbles, which is close to £5 million today, pounds.
Okay, it cost him double the amount to get them back.
Yes.
Okay.
And after that, they made a parliamentary committee to examine if they were legally purchased.
Mm-hmm.
They decided it was legal, and they bought them for $35,000.
Okay, have they been? This, I believe, is in the year 1816. Have they been in the British Museum since then?
Yes, they have been there. They have never been removed. But also in about 1937 and 1938, a curator thought that the marbles should look white as they were originally, which is a mistake, because the marble from which they are made, when it's exposed to the air, it acquires a tan similar to the color of honey. Mm-hmm. But he didn't know that. He thought they should be spotlessly white. So they started scraping the marbles with scrapers and carborundum. to make them white again.
Okay.
Which was a significant damage to them.
Okay, so that caused untold erosion to the marble.
Yeah.
I will say that the British are getting a pretty bad press here. Not all the British were acquiescent to the marbles arriving at the British Museum. Lord Byron, who you'll know is a big fan of Greece, he fought for the Greeks, didn't he, against the Ottomans?
Yes, Lord Byron was dead against all this.
Absolutely.
And him,
yeah. And I've got a poem that I'd like to read, Egg, because it goes, and it goes, "Dull is the eye that will not weep to see thy walls defaced, thy mouldering shrines removed by British hands. Cursed be the hour when from their isle they roved, and once again thy hapless bosom gored, and snatched thy shrinking gods to northern climes." So that's a pretty fair condemnation of British action by Byron. Moving on to today, Egistos, the British Museum does not want to return the Parthenon marbles, claiming that Elgin's acquisitions were legal, that his action saved the sculptures from destruction.
Yes, that's what he claims.
How do you feel about that as a Greek?
Well,
from destruction? I mean, were the Turks about to lay waste to the Parthenon?
Well, not exactly, but at that time there were wars going on.
Mm.
And because this is a naturally fortified position, everyone was barricading there, whether it be Turks or Greeks or whatever. So there was war going on, and there was some damage done to the marbles through that. But not to the extent that Elgin did.
Right, okay. Well, he was looking after them for safekeeping, because you're saying that the Acropolis is a 40-meter hill. That's a fairly strategic position to hold, I guess. And if you've got a temple on top of it, it would make a good gun emplacement. But the British Museum also say that their museum is a universal. This is their case for keeping the marbles. That their museum is a universal museum and it's free of charge, whereas the Acropolis is not. You charge people to come into the Acropolis. And thus, the British Museum fits its function as a global heritage centre and makes it better suited to display global treasures.
Yeah. Well, first of all...
Do you agree with that?
Not entirely, because the Acropolis Museum is a state-of-the-art museum. It has all the latest things about atmospheric control and temperature control. They have a very modern restoration laboratories. They have cleaned immaculately the existing marbles. And also, I must say that all the surviving sculptures are back in the museum, and they have been replaced on the Parthenon by artificial stone, which nobody can tell the difference when you see them. And this could be a solution.
Mm-hmm.
And also what the Prime Minister said is that if you cut Mona Lisa in half, and you have half in the Louvre and half in British Museum, would that satisfy the public? Having the marbles half here and half there, it's not proper. I don't know how to express.
No, I mean, you know, it seems like it's so obvious what you're saying.
Another thing. In 2022, the Institute of Digital Archaeology in Oxford offered to the British Museum to take scans of the marbles and make exact copies from robot sculptures in marble, and they declined.
Mm-hmm.
So there are solutions to that.
I suppose really that the fear amongst the British Museum and other English museums is that returning the marbles would prompt the loss of other treasures like the Benin bronzes to Nigeria, yeah. the Rosetta Stone to Egypt. And what finally, Egg, what do you think about the possibility that the British Museum might concede to loan the marbles back to Greece? How would that sit with Greek public opinion, that you borrow them back?
Yeah, there is a snag to this, which is that for the British Museum to lend the marbles, they want a signed agreement that they are the property of the British Museum. And the Greeks don't want to sign this thing. They believe they are not the property of the British Museum. So, I don't know. Discussions continue between the Greek government and the British Museum. Nobody knows.
Well, as a Greek, you must feel pretty outraged. I mean, it's so obvious, really, isn't it? I shouldn't be saying that. I should be sort of in a neutral space, but anyway. Egistos Papadopoulos, it's been absolutely wonderful talking to you, as ever, our man in Greece. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
And,
bye-bye.
And we'll speak again soon.
Okay.
Adios.
Take care.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Adios.